So sisters, welcome to our women's series for this month of April. We're going to talk about valuing one another above ourselves, but we're really actually going to focus on us. We're going to have a focus on you, because a lot of times, you know, if you're the best of you, then you're going to be the best for other people. And I think a lot of times we don't think about that. And so we're going to talk about just some of the work that is going to take for us to actually become the women that we need to be in our relationship with God, but also in our relationship with one another. And so today I want to talk about some of the important ingredients to building deep, vibrant, and authentic relationships. And you know, it's quite a task, actually. I think building deep relationships is not something that comes naturally to any one of us. But you know, God, in His Word, He gives us everything we need for life and godliness. So we do have, you know, everything we need, you know, in the Word. And then we also do have everything we need, even in this life. And so we will talk about that even in the coming weeks, about some of the things that God has provided to just help us to be those women that we actually need to be. Now, let's turn our Bibles to John 1:14. And if you're not there because of time, I'm just going to go ahead and read the scriptures and then just note it down, and you can take your time afterwards to just go through it. But John 1:14 talks about, you know, the Word became flesh, and He dwelt among us, and He was filled with truth and grace. And so this is talking about Jesus and how He became flesh, and He dwelt among us, and He was filled with truth and grace. And so the two ingredients I want to talk about today is truth and grace. Now, what is truth? You know, truth is a true or actual state of a matter. You know, it's a state or character of being true. It's honesty, integrity, truthfulness. It's an agreement with a standard or an original thing, okay? And you know what actually has brought us here, what has brought us together as women and as God's church is what? Is truth, isn't it? I still remember when I found the kingdom. I had been to, you know, other churches, other places, you know, but I was looking for something different. And what I found, number one, was truth. I had never heard the Word of God spoken the way it was spoken to me. And that's what helped me to just even want to come, even want to be a part of the body of Christ. You know, Romans 12:3 says, "For the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has given you." Okay? And so this is talking about us and how we look at ourselves as women. Do we look at ourselves with a sober judgment? Now, the only way to actually do that, because, you know, if you say, okay, I'm just going to sit down and I'm going to think through myself and I'm going to see, you know, what's going on with me, you know, that's not just going to be enough. You need to be able to go back to the scriptures and compare your life to the scriptures and ask yourself, is whatever I'm going through, is whatever I'm doing, is whatever I'm feeling in line or in tune with the truth about God? Is it in line with actually how God feels about this whole situation that I'm going through right now? And so are you honest? Have you been honest with your life? Have you been honest with exactly where you've been at, you know, at every point as a Christian? You know, I think one of the things that, you know, especially living in this fast-paced world, is that we rarely take the time to actually stop and to reflect and to ask ourselves, how am I actually doing? When was the last time that you stopped and you asked yourself, how am I doing? What's going on with me? What's going on inside of me? What's going on in my thoughts? What am I feeling? You know, and unless we do that, then we're not going to be able to really just, you know, connect to God. We're not going to be able to connect to His Word. We're not going to be able to put His Word into practice in an effective way. You know, what's going to help is being able to stop and to look at ourselves, be honest, and then go back to the Scriptures, search. I mean, we have the YouVersion. We have a lot of apps that can help you actually search up, you know, Scriptures, study it out, and then let God's Word change you. You know, Psalm 119:66 teach me knowledge and good judgment, for I trust your commands. You know, God wants to teach us knowledge. He wants you to be able to know what to do. He wants actually for you to be able to know how to feel about certain situations. I know feelings are feelings, yeah, and whatever you're feeling is true, but you can actually align your feelings with the Word of God, okay? And good judgment. And aren't we needing these on a daily basis? Being able to make good judgments about things, about which way to go in life, about, you know, what to do. And let me tell you, God is wanting to help us in every area of our lives. You know, but don't we want good judgment when it comes to making decisions about our lives? You know, but that comes from God's Word. It comes from the truth that's in the Scriptures. You know, Jeremiah 8:11, they dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Okay? They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. And they say, the same Scripture talks about how they say, peace, peace, when there's no peace. Okay? So what's the actual state, again, of what's going on in your life? Are there things that you probably need to be addressing that you're just sort of, you know, ignoring? Okay, and the truth of the matter is that those things don't just go anywhere. You know, if there's dirt in your house, the only way to deal with it is to sweep it. You know, now I like sweeping, but let me tell you what I don't like, is taking that little dustpan and bending down and picking it up. I don't like doing that. So if one of my daughters is in the kitchen, I'll say, you know, come on, please help me pick this dirt up. You know, I can sweep the entire place, but I just don't like bending and picking it up and throwing it away. You know, and you know, a lot of times we notice dirt in our hearts, in our minds, in the way we are thinking, but what are we doing with it? Sometimes we even connect with it, we sweep it around, but do we get too lazy? Are we too complacent to actually get in there and bend down, sweep it into this dustpan and throw it away? You know, it's a process. We have to really open our hearts and be honest and let the Scriptures keep convicting us. The same Scriptures that helped you repent and get baptized and be here are the same Scriptures that are going to keep you righteous and keep you as the woman that God needs you to be. You know, we all fall into sin. We all do. Most probably every single day of our lives. Yeah, and even our most righteous acts are like filthy rags in God's sight. So there's a lot to look into ourselves and to question and to say what really is going on. And let me tell you, let me be honest with you. If you don't do it, nobody's going to do it for you. Yeah, no one is going to do it for you. In fact, I don't think you're going to let anybody do it for you anyway. Yeah, because we're all adults, aren't we? And so this is where we take in the work and we say, you know what, I'm going to look into my life. I'm going to look into that dirt and I'm going to sweep it and I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to get rid of it so that then I can be the woman that I need to be. Ecclesiastes 12:14, for God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or bad. You know, there are some Scriptures in the Bible that are a bit scary. You know, but I think this is one of them. That, you know, everything is actually going to be brought to judgment. Yeah, it's going to come before God. Okay? But again, are we hearing? You know, we hear so much. And I think, you know, we can easily become like, you know, what Jesus described, you know, in the Gospels. You know, can we ever be hearing but never perceiving? Yeah, we have to be careful about that. Yeah? That we're not just hearing and not really going back and applying it into our lives. You know, because everything that happens, you know, all our deeds are going to be brought to judgment. But you know what? I would rather deal with it now and repent of it than wait for the day of judgment. Isn't it? And that's what the Scriptures, that's what the truth is all about, is there to help us be able to do that, be able to bring everything, yes, to the judgment of God, yeah, through the word, through the scriptures, and really be able to deal with it and not wait for that, you know, that great day that's going to come to every single one of us. You know, Philippians 4:8, this is one of the scriptures that we know very well, Philippians 4:8, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, think about such things. You know, right here, there's whatever is true, you know, truth. And so I want to ask you, because sometimes we think about a lot of things, don't we? And oh, can't our mind start raving, yeah? And running in all sorts of directions. But I want to encourage you to constantly just stop yourself and ask yourself, is whatever I'm thinking actually true? Whether it's of you or of another person or of a certain situation, is it true? Is this what I should actually be, you know, exerting my energy thinking about? You know, it talks about whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and admirable, excellent or praiseworthy. These are the kinds of things that we need to be thinking about. You know, it's so easy, you know, to focus on the negatives. Yeah? And I think a big part of it is because we live in this wide world web, yeah? Live alone just in the world. I mean, you can say, yeah, but I'm not out there. I'm not meeting people. But then it all comes to you. And it all has been just narrowed down to a little piece of item that you take with you everywhere you go. And you just need to touch onto it, yeah? And maybe touch the news and or maybe some text message that somebody sent. And, you know, or look at your Facebook page and, you know, the Instagram and right there. Or just turn on the TV for just a few minutes on the news. My goodness, there's this channel that talks about all that's happening in Atlanta. I actually don't like watching it because then I'm like, I'm going to be scared every single moment of my life because they're just bringing in all these bad things that are actually going on and happening. And, you know, it's funny. I think the world, and we can be like that, where we're actually more attentive to, you know, things like that. Things that are just negative, it's like we're more censored to, oh yeah, let me hear, let me see, I want to know, what's that, what's going on? You know, but is that really of God? Is that what God wants us to be focusing on? Because it's not like whatever we think about is just going to somehow, you know, just pump itself out of our brain. No, it's going to stay there. And there's a way that eventually, if we don't deal with it, there's a way it's going to affect us. You know, there's a way it's going to affect who you are. There's a way it's going to affect your state of being as a woman. You know, and so we have to be able to stop ourselves and to say, you know what, no, I don't want this to be my standard. I don't want this to be my standard of living. I don't want what's going on around me, all the negativity to be what leads me and what directs me. You know, Psalm 103:14, you know, because some of these thoughts that we have are about ourselves. And it says, you know, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay? You know, every single woman in here is fearfully and wonderfully made. Every single one. It doesn't matter what you had growing up. It doesn't matter what sometimes you see when you look at the mirror. Yeah, even those of us who are aging and some lines are beginning to somehow show. The Bible still says that you are wonderfully and you are fearfully made. And you know why? Because you were created in God's image. Amen, sisters? You know, and so we have to be careful how we look at ourselves. We have to look at ourselves with this truth in mind about us. Because to be honest with you, I know we're talking about building deep relationships. The way you view yourself is how you're going to view the world, is how you're going to view people. A lot of times, the reason why we look at different situations and feel a certain way, and another person may look at the very same situation, yeah, and feel totally differently about it, is why? It's because there's a way that we all look at ourselves. Okay, so this is a question. How are you looking at yourself? How do you feel about yourself as a woman, yeah, as a child of the Almighty King. You are a princess. You are amazing. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. You are amazing. And you have to hear that. You have to tell yourself that. If you need to repeat it every single day when you wake up, if you need to stick it on all those mirrors around you, then you have to do that because you have to believe this truth. Amen? Another thing that really, if you allow me, I want to talk about, and I want to look at Ephesians 5, 29 to 30. Okay? This is something I have heard, and I have been here before, and I have had to go to God and ask Him to forgive me. But I want to talk about how sometimes we look at the church. Okay? So Ephesians 5, 29 to 30. After all, this is talking about Jesus. You know what? I think let me just stand there. I don't think I wrote the whole passage. Ephesians 5, 29 to 30 says, after all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of His body. Okay? This body right here, when it all comes together like this, it is Christ's body that He deeply loves, that He takes care of, that He feeds, that He actually gave up His life for. Jesus gave His life for this, for us, for you and I, to have a place that we can come to that is like no place in the world. If you don't believe me, try it if you haven't. Try having relationships out there in the world. And then tell me how that goes. Okay? You know, in the kingdom, and I have been hurt deeply in the church. But let me tell you, I would rather go through that a hundred times than go through something like that out there in the world. You know, in the kingdom, if you go talk to someone, they may not be humble immediately, but at least they'll listen to you. They will not follow what you're saying with insults. They will not shut their door at you and say, never talk to me again. Yeah, sometimes people do struggle to hear the truth, and they may, you know, struggle to admit that they hurt you, isn't it? But let me tell you, if you pursue it, they will eventually hear you. And you know, there's actually even a scripture that helps us with that. That if you go talk to them, they don't listen, get another one. If they don't listen, there's a whole process. It can actually be resolved. But let me tell you, God's kingdom is awesome. And I really want us to believe that. What it's not is that it's not perfect. And doesn't God know that? Didn't He know that? When He allowed His body to actually be us? The body of His Son, to be you and I. Oh my goodness, how humbling is that? And I just want to encourage us, please. I think one of the negative thoughts that we need to get rid of is things about the church. Instead, we need to imitate Jesus and take care of that body and nurture it and feed it. Give it what it needs to become what it actually needs to be. And you know when it's going to be perfect? Is when we all stand before God. That's when it's going to be perfect. Before that, we help each other, sisters. If you notice something in another person that's not right, that's not godly, if they treat you in a way that's not right, you go talk, you go have a conversation, you pursue it, yeah? You nurture it. You help that person become that part of the body of Christ that's going to actually make him proud, that's going to put a smile on his face. Amen, sisters? Amen. I hope that we can repent on this one. And like I said, I have been there where I felt like, oh, you know, this person and, oh, you know. And I know, you know, Chloe talked about this on Wednesday where sometimes you may feel like, oh, I don't even want to go. And then she said, you know what, and stay home and do what? You know, watch TV the whole day? That is boring. Come on. You know, that's not going to help you in any way. Yeah, but you know what? This morning when I was coming, I was just thanking God that I have me and my family. We have a place to go on a Sunday morning. Yeah, where we actually can feel loved. Yes, one person may not be nice to me, but there'll be another 10 that are going to just be amazing, yeah? And give me really awesome hugs, and some of them may come say to me, you look so beautiful, one of the sisters, you know, you look beautiful always. And you know, some of those days, I'm not feeling so beautiful, so that really makes a big difference, okay? So, amen. You know, John 8, 44 John 8:44. This is one of the most amazing scriptures in the Bible because it describes the truth about Satan. And he says, you know what? Satan is a father of lies. And when he speaks, that is native language. He's lying to us, sisters. Satan is constantly just lying to us. It's John 8:44. You know, and so we cannot listen to the lies of Satan. So what lies of Satan have you believed? What lies of Satan are you holding on to and have become the true gospel to you? Sisters, we have to get rid of them. Get rid of them. Amen? You know, Ephesians 4:15, if you've heard me talk about relationships, this is my favorite scripture. It says, instead speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every aspect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Okay? He talks about us speaking the truth in love. I know we're talking about the truth, okay? But you know what? The truth is fundamental for what we have. In fact, it is the foundation. In fact, it is a skeleton. Imagine my body without my skeleton. It would just be some amount of flesh that's going to just be seated right here, yeah? And pieces of organs, that, you know, all kinds of organs and all that, yeah? But the skeleton is what actually just gives us a frame, isn't it? And that's what the truth is, okay? But the truth in itself, and you know what? You know, God himself was able to say, you know what? Yes, because the Old Testament was all about the truth. But when Jesus came, the Bible says that he was full of truth and grace. God added another ingredient that actually makes it possible for us to be able to go to God. But let me tell you, sisters, this actually makes it possible for us to have dynamic, awesome relationships with each other. Okay? So love. Love must accompany truth. And I want to encourage you, if you ever need to go to someone and speak to them the truth, first ask yourself, is your heart full of love for this person? Is it going to be accompanied with nothing but love? Because truth on its own damages. It hurts. It kills, it breaks people apart, and it leaves them as pieces that who knows who's going to help them to put them together. I know God can, but you don't want to be a part of breaking down something that God has put together. Okay, and I'm not saying, sisters, that we should never speak the truth to each other. We actually need it. We need it, sisters. We need to hear it, and we need to welcome it all the time and even more. And we need to walk up to certain women and say, speak the truth to me. Tell it to me. I need to hear this. I am stuck. I am just going the wrong direction. Help me. Talk to me. But sister, you had better be covered up in love. You had better be filled with love. Otherwise, it's not going to help this person be able to make it to heaven. And so I want to talk about grace, okay, in the next few minutes. You know, so what is grace? Grace is an undeserved favor or kindness. Okay? Kindness. Have you met really kind people? Has someone ever been kind to you? You know, not so long ago, you know, when my sister was here, you know, a couple friends, you know, lent us their car. You know, and anyway, I'm not going to go into all the details. I ended up in a car accident. And so there was a little dent. It's a really nice car. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know. And we called immediately, you know, told them what had happened. Let me tell you, from both these couple, we received nothing but grace. In fact, I remember when he came back because he was out of town, you know, and I went and I said, I'm so sorry. And he said, you know, Carol, what are you even apologizing about? I don't want you to apologize. And he refused, he completely refused for me to apologize. That is grace. Yeah? Undeserved mercy. You know, Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, yeah? Not when we had tried, yeah? Not when we had tried, no. But when we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, the perfect description of God's grace is right here in these very few words. Is when we were still sinners, when actually what we deserved was what? Condemnation? Death? Yeah? Some lashes on our backs? But what did God give us? His son. Not just, yeah, here he is, but his son to die on the cross, to take up our pain, to take up our wounds, to take up our shame. That grace right there. And so can you imagine if God only treated us based on the truth of the matter, of every matter? Would any of us be here? None of us. I know I wouldn't. I know I wouldn't. Even those of us that think we're so perfect and so amazing, because some of us, you know, we think that way. When I studied the Bible, by the way, forgive me, but I thought that I was so perfect because I wasn't like that girl or that other girl or those other bad girls in my neighborhood. But let me tell you, the truth in God's word put me right in my place. In a very serious way. I even had to restudy the Bible just to get it right. And I thank God for the women that were in my life at that time, okay? You know, John 1:17 says, John 1:17, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. This is the same scripture that we read at the beginning, but this is repeated again, okay? So the law came through Moses, but God decided, you know what? Yeah, I want something different because I so badly want a relationship with all these people. I want to be able to restore the relationship I had with my creation, you know, right from the beginning. I want that again. And the perfect ingredient for that was grace. So, and this is a contrast, basically, of the old law and the new law. And so before, it was all just about the truth. You deserve this because you did this, yeah? Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, yeah? That was the Old Testament. By the way, sisters, looking at all of our lives, probably if we lived in the Old Testament times, none of us probably would be alive. A lot of us wouldn't be alive today. We would have been stoned to death, isn't it? Yeah? Aren't we grateful for God's grace, sisters? Aren't we? Yeah? But you know what? This is how the world does it, yeah? The world doesn't understand grace. And that's just the culture that we're raised in. That's the culture we are in. The world, how it goes in the world is like this. If you're good to me, I'll be good to you. Yeah? If you give me, I'll give you. What can I benefit from you? Yeah? It's all based on truths and facts. Just go for a job interview, okay? There'll be very few bosses that will be thinking of grace as you're going through that job interview, yeah? Or even just at your place of work, yeah? The world is vindictive and judgmental, yeah? The world also is what? You deserve this, yeah? Or I deserve this. Yeah, the world will say, oh, you deserve this, and they'll give you this amazing thing. Or sometimes we tell ourselves, oh, I deserve this. I deserve to just go to the beach and just put my feet up for a month, you know, because I've worked hard, yeah? Yeah, it's the way of the world. And, you know, if we're not careful in the church, you know, we can treat each other like this. And sometimes we do treat the body of Christ like this. Yeah, I get this from the church, so I'll do this for the church. If I don't get this from the church, then I'm not going to do this for the church. The world's way. That's not God's way. That's not God's way. Okay? Proverbs 22:11. And before I read that, you know, sisters, we need Jesus. We need Jesus, sisters. Yeah, because he strikes the balance perfectly between truth and grace. And that's why we need to get into the scriptures and get to know him more and more. Are we imitating him? What happened to that WWJD? Okay, what would Jesus do? Okay, what happened to that? Anyway, Proverbs 22:11, whoever loves a pure heart and a gracious speech will have the king as a friend. The king. Now, first of all, the king of kings, yeah? But the king, can you imagine that? You can become friends with the most amazing people. It doesn't matter if you're from a very lowly place. If you're a woman that's gracious, yeah? Then you can have anybody, anyone, by the way, as a friend. And that's the thing we have to get rid of. Sometimes you look at people like, oh, she can't be my friend. you know, and we judge each other. And it prevents us from really getting to know each other and from getting into amazing deep relationships. You know, and so if you're lacking of deep, fulfilling relationships, ask yourself if you're a gracious woman. And I'm going to leave that at that. Okay? Ask yourself that question. Romans 5, 20 to 21. It says the law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, and also grace might reign, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay? This is amazing that, you know, God actually counters sin with grace. He counters it. Not with some harshness, yeah, but with grace. You know, sometimes you're afraid of showing grace because we are afraid that people will not change. Isn't it? But aren't we control freaks? Then we want to control the situation. And we want our way, and we think our way is going to work. If I show this person grace, and they're just going to continue sinning. Yeah? They're going to keep doing, or they'll think it's okay to do whatever they did. You know, I actually think no. I actually, when I've been treated with grace, I feel like it inspires me to want to do the right thing. Yeah? And isn't that what God does for us? Every day we're just drawn to Him. Because of what? Because of His grace, because of His mercy, because of His love and kindness. Isn't it? So we have to trust God, sisters. We have to trust him. You know, his grace is what's going to work for us to build those deep, amazing relationships. And so I want you to ask yourself and ask someone that's close to you, are you a gracious woman? Are you gracious? Do you extend grace? When people wrong you, yeah? Do you extend grace to them? Let's say today I came to you and I said something really mean. What would you do? What would you do with that? What do you do in those kinds of situations? What if someone wasn't being nice to you, or they were not doing what they were supposed to be doing? A lot of times we pull back and we hold back from these people. You know, what God did is more sin, more grace. And so if somebody sins against you, the biblical way to deal with it is to show them grace. And we will talk about forgiveness one of these days, but that's what this is all about. That's what grace is all about. It's about just forgiving. I read somewhere the other day that forgiveness is a matter of the soul, of your soul. And you may lose your soul if you don't forgive, if you're not a woman that forgives. And I'm not talking about, I think sometimes we think of forgiveness and grace and we think of big things like, oh, they killed this person that I love. No, it's the little things, the little tiny things that happen that we have to be women of grace about. Amen? And so sometimes we can be very rigid and controlling as women. And when we're like these, people don't get to experience God's grace. They don't get to experience God. They don't get to see that love that God is actually talking about in the scripture. So let's go, sisters. Let's let go and let's trust God. I love this passage, and it's going to be the last one. And then because the brothers will be coming in. Colossians 4:6, it says, let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Now, the Message translation, let me read this for you. Be gracious in your speech. The goal is to bring out the best in others in a conversation, not to put them down, not to cut them out. Okay? So the goal is what? Is to bring out the best in people, isn't it? Yeah, in a conversation. So as you're having that conversation, please take your time. If you don't know how to answer graciously, just say, you know, sister, let's pray. Okay, we don't always have to say something, by the way. We don't always have to say something. We can just say, sister, let's pray. Let me pray for you. Okay, or pray for me right now because I'm feeling something. Don't open your mouth, please, because words can destroy, you know. You know, so does this describe your conversations with people? And it's not just with each other, but it's everywhere, okay? And I know, and I look at this, I'm challenged myself in a lot of, you know, places and in a lot of ways. You know, but please listen. And I think another big way that we can extend grace is just listening to people. People really need that. Listen to people. Let's not just air our opinions. There's a scripture in Proverbs about that. I think it calls that being foolish. Okay? And then finally, John 1:16, out of his fullness, we have all received grace after grace after grace. You know, out of God's bounty. You know what he lavishes on us? What he pours down every day? His grace. The more you sit down and you let yourself feel and hear God's love and be filled with God's grace, then the more you're going to have to give out. So God wants to fill us up. And he has already done more than enough, sisters, to fill us up with his grace and with his love so then we can have enough to pour out to other people. You know, but before I finish, you know, in the coming weeks, we're going to have different women come up and share. And our focus is mainly just really on relationships. But we're also going to talk about just how to heal ourselves. Because when we are healed, then we can actually really truly love in a way that is gracious, yeah? In a way that is effective. And so we have, you know, a lineup. I'm not going to go through it right now because I do need to stop talking. And I love you and enjoy the rest of the service. Amen.